Welcome all you tech enthusiasts, your curious minds, and those navigating the electrifying world of bits and bytes. This is Talk IT to Me, the podcast that promises to be your guide through this ever-evolving universe of IT and beyond. We'll be diving deep into the intricates of IT industry, from market and technology insights, recruitment and career advice, to leadership in digital age. And, of course, a few surprises that go beyond the realms of binary, I hope. So, let's do it. Hi everyone, welcome to Talk IT to Me. I'm Adrian Bednars, your humble guide and host. Today I'm talking to two fantastic guests. I've got with me Piotr Gutkowski and Łukasz Niedźwiecki. And we're diving into the topic of collaboration, and more specifically collaboration between different organizations within a big IT company and how we deal with it. So first, guys, let's start with some introductions. Piotr, how about you? Can you tell us a bit more about yourself?
Sure, happy to. So my name is Piotr. As you already said, I'm business analyst professionally. When I started my career, today I perform the role of delivery director at SoftServe, which is more fancy title for program manager everywhere else. But we take care of the business. We are responsible for the portfolio of services delivered to our customers.
All right, perfect. How long have you been with SoftServe?
7 years and counting.
Okay, we've got a veteran amongst us. Perfect, thank you. Łukasz, what about yourself?
Damn, that's impressive. 7 years. So I'm 17 years shy in IT, all my career. In the past, I used to deal with ERPs, infrastructure security for different organizations, including one of the biggest banking groups in the world. And I've been with SoftServe for 3 years, and the last 3 years, more or less 3 years, has been an amazing adventure, where I've started and built the DevOps practice here in SoftServe in Poland and Romania, Colombia, Mexico, and Chile. And that would be more or less it. Professionally, I used to be a project manager, program manager, director of a unit, and once again, I am that. And no strings attached.
Coincidence?
Don't think so. Nice having you guys. So you kind of answered the question that I wanted to ask, which is which organization do you represent? But because we are talking about collaboration between different organizations, we have representation from delivery. And we
I would say CTO, COE, Critical Services, Vlad Yelchev's unit.
Okay, so for those outside, let's call it a Navy SEAL of competencies within IT industry, right? So
we can say that, definitely we can say that, or we can say just that it's a platform of technology and people that provide a certain competence. And to put it very simply, DevOps is just a new name for infra people, and that's what we're doing.
Pretty much so. Fully agree. Perfect. So I will play a part of, the host, the guide, but I also play a part of a different organization within the company, GTO, so Global Talent Operations. So when we talk about interactions or collaboration between different teams, I'll try to give you some perspective from Global Talent Operations as well. But so we have three organizations. So let's talk about actual essence of collaboration. So first a question, guys, what is collaboration to you? Why is it so important in your area of responsibility within SoftServe, and why we are talking about this? Who goes first?
Shall I?
Yeah, I go for it.
Delivery first.
Yes, yeah. Thank you. Our customers are proud. Before I answer that question, I just wanted to make one comment that might not be very obvious from the conversation we are having today, but since I'm the grandpa on this call when it comes to the SoftServe age, it was never so much of a collaboration I have seen at SoftServe before I actually started working with Łukasz, because we used to have, mixed interest many times, not COE fault, not deliver fault. Basically, we had different KPIs and so on. But this is changing, and this is a marvelous change. And the impact of that on the business, on our customers, internal working conditions is magnificent. So with this a bit longer introduction to the topic, as I said, the collaboration is changing. Well, times are changing, right?
But naturally, yeah.
Because of this collaboration, this ability to be professional, to be confident in front of customers, in front of our prospects when we have a new prospects or existing customers that we serve, new line of business, new services, this is very empowering, and this is what enables me, for example, as a leader, to be able to expand those customers and provide best service at all angles. So being in a position to have someone to trust with the competence, this is extra valuable. And I don't think this is a standard industry-wise.
Definitely not. I mean, there's this stereotype that internal organizations can't cope together, can't exist together because they fight for each other. They fight for the goals they have set for them, right?
Exactly. So
the collaboration, as you said, it changes the way you work and, you know, to deliver the
We were the victims of this conflict a couple of years back. So it takes a couple of people to realize, hey, guys, we don't have to fight each other, right? We have the same goal after all.
Yeah.
So
play for the same team.
Real happy to hear that. And I actually, for the last 2.5-3 years, have not that much encountered the part of the natural in every corporation fight for resources, because that's natural in every corporation. There's a limited amount of resources and infinite amount of KPIs and goals that we have to meet. But a long time ago, I understood that transparency, honesty, and the fact that we're in business together, although we represent different organizations, we still represent one company. And in this case, it's SoftServe, a company that thrives on providing high-level competency consulting to the customers. So looking at that, we can bring much more value with the synergy, with transparency, and with joint responsibility, right?
Mm. Yeah, definitely. Do you know what? I really hope that recruiters or talent operation people are looking at this and watching this and listening to this, because this has always been a goal of global talent operations functions in any organization, is because the one pure goal of recruitment or HR teams is to staff, to scale, and to help the business grow. And this mentioned conflict always was standing in the way to do this. But now when you're talking about close collaboration, it actually helps to actually deliver the exact the same goal, which is growing the company, right? No matter of what resources on what direction you take. So I'm glad to hear that, definitely.
There's also, because we talk about customers, we talk about the company, but we should not forget about the people, the actual employees in that equation. And I think it also brings a lot of benefits to them, because what kind of personal development plan I can discuss with a senior DevOps guy, right? I probably don't understand half the words he says, and frankly, I'm oblivious to the other half, right?
Yeah.
But guys like Łukasz and his team, they can actually help people grow in that competence, and I can utilize their greatest minds to serve the customer.
So many good words. Thank you.
And so true.
Yeah, but I used to be in your shoes, right? So coming from the light side to the dark side of infrastructure, you kind of remember the lessons. And I remember how super hard it is when you're trying to be a business driver, a business leader, which delivery is. And on the other side, you don't meet with the same level of understanding.
Mm.
From driving a business perspective, this transparency and collaboration and I would say great communication that we have in terms of flow and understanding, that actually brings the magic to the table.
Mm.
And it's harder sometimes to explain to people. Some of those who are outside of our organization probably will not understand a few of our nuances. But I do believe that the three of us, because Adrian, we've also been collaborating for the last 2.5-3 years, there is a certain value that comes from individuals. Mm-hmm. Who are like-minded and who understand that in the end, it's the end goal, not the short-term goal. So don't think about quarters, guys. Think about years.
That's true. No, the way I like to say and always describe it is that you need to be not part of a team or helping or supporting the team. You need to be an extension of that team, right? So be part of the same growth value. And I absolutely agree with, people-centric approach. We are talking about people and how they contribute to this whole strategy and structure of collaboration. Makes sense.
You know, in this era of AI substituting everything, we keep on coming back to the same statement. It's all about the people, right?
Mm.
For the people, by the people, this is the IT business.
You know, I think that the whole AI concept and what it will or will not replace is a conversation for yet another long podcast. Absolutely. It
don't
will never replace
me.
People.
I'm very skeptical.
Oh, me too, but don't worry about it. No. AI will not replace people. Let's just be clear, okay? We'll talk about it later. But guys, so we really touched on the subject of collaboration on the project level. But it's also important to identify different areas of this collaboration where it matters, right? And in large IT organizations, small ones, I guess, as well. But there is the phase called pre-sales or sales or business development, acquiring new logos, new business. And in the spirit of collaboration, how does this impact this phase and the success of it?
We touched base briefly on this even today. So this is empowering for delivery leaders to be able to confidently say that we did something, we know how to do it, and we can repeat the success with another customer. And this is the most important in the pre-sales phase, right? Because if you do not go past the first initial qualification, even it's just a sort of verbal communication and there is no written records of the success, even if we have case studies, if you don't build this trust that this company can help you solve your business challenge, your pain, your fire, whatever, then this is the end of the discussion, right? Before we even discuss rates and finances, you need to build this trust. And without confidence, I would not really trust a person that cannot confidently tell me what my problem looks like and what are the potential solutions. This is what the COE team DevOps practice provides.
So in order to enhance your offering, let's say, are reaching out to...
I wouldn't even say enhance, I would say build. Because who is enhancing? That's usually me, right? I'm just putting nicer colors and rounding around the edges, right? But maybe delivering some speech and so on. But the core solution, that's usually the COE.
Why drive the business? I got to jump in here. Because
I sell it. But you make it.
But in the same way you drive it, and that's the thing, right? When it comes to competence groups or solution groups or like the platform that they represent, so people who can deliver certain value on infrastructure, whether it's on-prem, cloud, hybrid, whatever, we are always limited to a certain perception that is very technology-oriented, while the business drivers like Piotr are capable of understanding the broader picture of customer demand and need. And I think that that's in general a super big... challenge in our business that, you know, people sway from one way to another, forgetting that the truth lies in between. Sometimes we think, especially on the engineering part, that we perfectly know what this customer needs, what the customer desires should have. While we over-engineer, while we jump into conclusions too early, forgetting that it's the business drivers who can identify the actual value that the customer has. And that's what I love about our cooperation, that when we bounce ball, and we do that on the pre-sales, sales or any other phase of the project, I keep on saying that it's a cycle, especially in long-term cooperations. Yeah. There is a super transparent way in which we do it, and Piotr identifies in a very good way that, hey guys, and that's what happened in the past. I understand that you want to go this way. I understand that you're super keen on this, but the customer is not searching for that. He's searching for something different. And because we trust each other, because we know each other, because we have this proven track record of success together, it's easier to click in those ways. Mm-hmm. When a new person enters the equation, sometimes there's this, you know, I'm more important, I'm more important. There is no I'm more important. There's just different roles, right?
Yeah, we are past the ego measuring stage, I believe, at this time. Maybe that's the success.
And also, you're staying with the customer for a much longer period of time, because in the life cycle, there's multiple phases. Mm. The infrastructure phase is there for a certain period of time, then its presence limits. And all those other things that, humbly saying, we just prepare the infra for start happening. And that's where a lot of our customers see the actual value, right?
Yeah, definitely. So let me just very briefly go back to what you said. It's a sort of mind switch, or switching the mindset to this collaborative approach and on different phases of project. And very briefly, like, how to do this, how not to compete. How did you actually manage this? Is it because of your friendship? This is because you know each other? Or this is because this is the mindset of how we run projects at SoftServe? Or is it something else?
We think alike on many... planes, so to speak, right? So definitely it doesn't hurt, but even if you don't, as Łukasz said, the transparency, very honestly, like, man, this really won't work. I understand this is state of the art solution, but customer doesn't have a budget for that, and that's it, right? And that's it. So either we accept it or we say, okay, bye, thank you, right? This transparency, what we can afford in terms of even the pre-sales costs, right? They're also the costs for us. Sometimes the account is not like extra perspective. We want to do, but we cannot afford to invest $500,000 for a POC, right? Yeah. So if we understand these limitations together and we both accept it, both sides of the equation, I mean, that's a perfect start. And then you build trust over second, third, fourth, 15th iteration, and you know, it starts working. I mean,
same goal, right? We really just play the same goal, and we don't play short term. So
yeah,
again, once you stop thinking about quarters and you start thinking about years, and what I super like about our cooperation is that we don't just think about the current project and the current perspective, but also, hey, what can come out of it later? And it can be multiple positive outcomes. It doesn't have to be in business. It can be for the technological part. To give you an example, and Piotr mentioned that sometimes there's a business which might seem less profitable short term, but it's super good for us from the perspective of the technological growth of the people that we have.
Yeah.
So here come into play other elements that make that business more attractive. And for us, it's easier to convince the stakeholders, not just on the customer side, but also on our side, that it's worth jumping into something. And there have been multiple situations in the past few years in SoftServe that I've seen something which from one perspective would not seem that lucrative, that juicy. But once you took the full picture, technology, business, and people, suddenly it clicked like, okay, there's value in it. Let's do it. Let's try it. Let's see, can we make it repetitive? Mm. Can we make this an offering that will be later on something that we distinguish ourselves with on the market?
Maybe a final comment to make a bit practical flavor of this, a bit theoretical discussion, especially for colleagues at SoftServe listening to us. So it's easy to lose track when you have a deal on a table and you need to supply it, you need to structure it. And sometimes people have contradictory KPIs, right? So that's natural. That's how we are organized. But it's not the end. Like, it's tomorrow as well. There will be a new deal and then after it. And that's important to remember the big picture. I think that's really important to highlight.
Definitely. And I think this is also a new age approach of looking at long-term goals versus the short-term gain, what you discussed. Absolutely. And you keep talking about, you know, your two organizations benefiting from this. Collaboration as a tool for business development. And this topic, we can actually move to, you know, business development as lead generation or collaboration that helps, you know, companies like ourselves to, you know, impact lead generation. Do we have that success in SoftServe?
I think that everything which we already tackled with, like the cycle of identifying customer need and then kind of addressing that need, is a never-ending cycle. It doesn't stop with just the pre-sales. And this is where I see a massive advantage of our cooperation, because from the engineering perspective, once the initial project starts, or it's even finishing, but we're capable of identifying multiple more challenges that the customers are facing. Mm-hmm. But to be brutally honest, we're not capable in terms of the engineering part to convey it into a business value proposal. And this is where I would say the feedback loop operates perfectly between us, because every leader, every engineer inside of the DevOps practice understands that once he sees this, he has to go to a business owner, a business driver, a business leader to convey that message. If we're not capable of doing that internally, we're not going to be capable of doing that towards the customer. And that's a natural, I think, understanding of the limitation. So leads are generated over the place. And thanks to the close collaboration, we actually multiply the lead generation cycle inside of the company.
Yeah, naturally.
Yeah, and practical example. We signed a contract for 4 products literally in last weeks of December 2023 for 4 proof of concept projects with a big, let me say, financial/software institution providing the tax calculation software and products to hundreds of thousands Polish businesses. And we are utilizing generative AI based on AWS stack to help this company build both internal extra capabilities and make their operations a bit lean, like, for example, tackle the various questions and get relevant materials from their internal sources, but also they want to commercialize this solution in the future and sell it to the customer as a part of their value proposal, right? So this is one of an example where the collaboration with COE and with other external partnerships like AWS, they already bear fruits.
Yeah, this is actually a super interesting topic, because when I said that we find new ways of cooperating on the engineering level, it's super fitting into what Piotr said, because a lot of our customers, once they come with the first initial problem, in the end figure out that, hey, maybe this could sell. And we got a lot of stories where our customers actually transformed an in-house or internal solution into something that they were later on promoting on the market. I think that the ambition of having an IT solution still is very strong in the business. And well, where better to address it than with us? Mm. We've done it countless times.
Yeah, that sounds like it. Definitely, you know, a bunch of different success stories that we can mention here. But this one is actually great about the AI, which again, we're touching on and we will on the next conversation. Perfect. So now, guys, so from practical standpoint, from, you know, point of view of somebody, you know, within your organization, how does the collaboration work, or how to make this successful between, you know, two or three different organizations within the company?
I think there is no more much more to add on the topic. I mean, the collaboration, it just exists. So it's not like I as Piotr can communicate with Łukasz, no, and only Łukasz can communicate with me.
Yeah.
I encourage my project managers, Łukasz encourages his technical leaders to check upon each other. Whenever we have a need, we go to his people directly. I'll just let him know when we catch up that there's something brewing, and he might expect that. But usually the collaboration happens below us, like on a project level, right? Yeah. And that's why it is so effective, because it doesn't have to wait for any approval or anything senseless like this.
Perfect. That's exactly what I was looking for, actually, because this is mentoring, this is, you know, leading from top to bottom.
And it's empowerment, man.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, everybody's been talking about Agile for the last 20 years, give or take.
30,
but,
I think.
Yeah, or more. Manifesto is something like that. But
yeah.
but not many people in my professional career actually understand it and live it. Now, we are on a slightly, I want to say higher, because I don't believe in hierarchy, but let's say different level of career right now. And there's a lot of people, a lot of leaders around us. And leading by example, by having this good cooperation, I would say we actually very intensively support the fact that those leaders communicate without us in the loop. And that's what I want. That's what I believe in, that the best things are literally happening on the shop floor. That's where the magic happens. That's where the greatest ideas are born. And it's our role to get those, to snatch those which are the best in proper moments, and kind of accelerate and grow them. And once again, preaching to the choir, I know, but we have it. And I would say that in general, a lot of things are changing, but this is one of the magic factors.
Mm-hmm.
Empower the people, let the people work together. And, you know, we keep on saying different organizations, but I believe that during a project, each time we create a new entity, which is like literally a baby between those two organizations, and that baby has to live its own life.
Yeah.
You know, personally, I'm a DadOps of three, and I like those metaphors, because once you look at how the baby is not under your influence when you empower it, and how much magic it can bring, that's where you kind of start clicking into this, that, okay, let it be, let's just show the good example, let's show how it can work, and see what beautiful magic will happen later.
Yeah.
We also have to admit that we are lucky to work in an organization that is supporting those decisions on the edge, right? Because that was also a policy of SoftServe that was different from many organizations I have experienced and encountered. Because I do not imagine now coming to for five above levels of approval for anything I want to do. I mean, I would probably not do it at all, right?
Forever.
Yeah, I would lose patience. And we don't have to do it really that often, like very rare occasions.
Yeah.
And that's how it empowers us.
Well, this is brilliant. And actually, just jumping in from this third organization, you know, Global Talent Operations, actually what you're saying, you know, empowerment and, you know, involving, you know, your subordinates or teams to actually create that baby, as you said, actually helps also recruitment teams to actually support your end goal, right? To deliver whatever the product or feature you want to deliver.
You're like the godfather.
Yeah, we're sort of in the shadows, but we are the reason you exist, you know? Let's just put it this
and
way.
And why we cease to exist, right?
Sounds like the godfather.
Beginning and end. Yeah, beginning right. and end. Absolutely. Alpha and Omega recruitment. I like that. Yeah, let's do this. Guys, so we're talking about, you know, leadership. We're talking about collaboration as a tool for lead generation. And we also have something quite interesting at SoftServe. And I want to talk about this. We have the Poland Executive Forum, right? Mm-hmm. A great platform. And let's maybe, you know, illustrate or talk about what it is and what it is to us, what it brings.
So I would say that this is an amazing initiative that is driven by the country manager here in Poland, Sebastian Drzewiecki. Sebastian coming from a background of quite a few corporations in high levels, brought to the table this amazing forum where the top leadership of a given location or the top leadership that's localized in a given country have a platform to cooperate, to collaborate, and most importantly, to grow and learn from each other. So that's a forum where we get a chance from time to time to meet, discuss our problems, discuss our challenges, share knowledge. And trust me, like, there's no better source of knowledge than people who are your peers or your peers but in other organizations who can share the real life stories. You know, there's so much buzz in the infosphere.
Yeah.
Right? And on the forum, we actually can filter that through the real life experiences of our company. That's one thing. And second is, come on, we get a chance to learn and grow, tailored a little bit to this level. And I've done an MBA, several management courses. It's really hard to find something that actually suits you. There's either the generic knowledge, which after so many years in the business you already have, good to revise, but still not that good to kind of spend a ton of time on learning. Or there is those very kind of specialized things that might be later on not useful. So tailoring something for such a group, tailored for your organization, leadership, for your challenges currently globally and locally, is really an amazing place where I would say on this regular basis, we obtain a little bit of knowledge and a lot of value. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, Łukasz. So nothing else to add besides a very practical example from a people perspective. So I will make one step back. So I was very sad when COVID happened. I mean, everyone was sad, of course. Mm-hmm. But I was sad from a reason that the ability and the possibility to travel to meet people at SoftServe and our customers and so on was so limited.
Yeah.
Because it has impacted so much the culture that we are so proud of in SoftServe. And this is why our customers love it. And this is like, it's not my words, it's written by the CEOs, right? So you can check.
Yeah.
It's there on the website. Our customers love us for our customers, for our culture.
Mm-hmm.
And it is hard to build it via the Zoom or meetings via internet. I mean, first one throw a stone who is not doing something else when pertaining to a call, right? I mean... Who just focus on a call? I mean, 5 minutes, yes, maybe, but not longer. And how do you build those connections? Every call is very specific on the topic. If you cannot drink a coffee with those people, that might be a millennial person talking, but I don't see it. I mean, I don't believe in building the actual meaningful relationship and collaboration since on the topic without such gatherings.
I think especially on our level, right? Because when we're talking about teams, project teams, or teams that we have inside of the organizations, it's a little bit easier. You can do a team event. Those people are connected by work. There's a lot of things that are intertwining them. While when we talk about especially leadership level, come on, we have certain topics together, me and Piotr maybe more, but there are leaders with whom we have very limited interactions present on the forum. And that's the magic that can happen, because that gives you another perspective. That gives you the opportunity, exactly as you said, to meet with someone, drink a coffee or a beer, dependent on the time, and literally chat about the pain points that we have. At the same time, getting to know each other and seeing, hey, there's a person on the other side. It's not just the head on the monitor. It's a person who has their own problems, their own challenges, their own KPI, and their own life that we got to be respectful of, because it's super easy to lose that perspective. when you're just sitting at your own home desk and, you know, staring at the wall.
Yeah.
Or
it's impossible.
And trust me, it's much harder to ignore a message for someone who have drunk a coffee in the office or ate dinner, right? Or had a bit party last night than someone like just a name in Teams, right? It's totally different story.
Absolutely. Well, it depends, right? How it went.
It's usually for the best, of course.
That's true. There are exceptions to the rule. There are exceptions to the rule.
As to everything.
No, definitely. So it seems like, you know, the Poland Executive Forum brings a lot of value. So if we can differentiate it by value that it brings to you as a person, you as a leader, and the value that it brings to the company, if you can identify, obviously you were talking about mentoring
connections,
or ability.
Connectedness.
Yeah.
Exchanging knowledge, exchanging challenges, plans, because it is also interesting, maybe a step back. Sometimes at a business level, we hear about what customer needs now or need for yesterday, so it's burning, right? But it is very interesting to understand from technological experts, such as COEs and other supporting organizations to the delivery, what are the trends? What is brewing? What is coming, right? Mm-hmm. Because then we can stimulate some of the conversations to not build a solution for yesterday or for the 2 years back because it's so outdated, but maybe actually build something that will last. And this is not something you can just read on the internet, right?
Ah, 100%.
I actually wanted to say the same thing. That
sorry.
Good.
From business. No.
collaboration.
From other perspective, like for me, getting interactions with multiple businesses, I usually hear what they need for yesterday. But at the same time, for example, in the forum, we get this point where people say like, okay, so we're doing this much business in, let's say, basic infrastructure, but there have been questions about this, this and that. Yeah. And for us as a technological and people platforms, it's sometimes hard to differentiate which is a valuable thing on the higher level and which is kind of a fad. And on the forum, while we can sit down and discuss it, I'm capable of identifying, okay, so the key people who have the best relationships with the customer are saying this is the trend. This is the thing that they're searching. Later on, when we're building the personal development plans or the plans to develop particular units, clusters, or technologies that we operate on, we're capable of saying, okay, this year it will be better to invest into the AI specialization or on a more infrastructure level, okay, this will be the Kubernetes year or this year we got to focus on more generic cloud kind of topics. And that's super valuable as a knowledge source. But it only works if people want to share, right? And I think this is where we could say kudos to Sebastian for building a forum where people do share and where we have this opportunity.
Fantastic.
Knowledge
we'll
is power,
we'll tag
right?
him. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We'll tag Sebastian in this podcast. Thanks, Sebastian.
And let's be clear. We're not connected to him via bonus or whatever.
We are not paid for that.
We're not paid for that.
We'll talk about it. Guys, fantastic. So that kind of brings, you know, to another topic because we're talking about, you know, Poland Executive Forum, what it brings, and it brings access, brings knowledge, brings the insight into trends that we might expect, you know, to be in development that we can focus on, but also helps us to maybe establish some insight into our local markets like Poland. And in this regard, you know, what do we think about, you know, doing business in IT market in Poland and how does this help us, you know, in this whole sphere?
Well, a short one from me, as I mentioned, a previous customer from December that we have secured. So we see a potential. We never, software started operating in United States, right? So we are originally by default 30 years back, we are focused on that market. Then we moved slowly to other Western markets, to Germany, to DACH, to UK. And we somehow like skipped Poland in all that, which made sense at the time because probably Poland was not the most advanced country. People also didn't want to spend money for IT service because I cannot touch it, so why should I pay for it, right? This kind of mindset. But this is changing and Poland has become a tech hub for many technologies that are considered in the world and Polish engineers are considered in the world as the best in class, right?
Of course.
So that has changed. And that also means that the business's mindset, the industry mindset on the Polish market has also changed. So we should leverage that. We should evolve. We should not overlook Poland anymore. Of course, we need to like make some changes because we don't have, for example, Polish-speaking sales at the moment. But this is something which we can also cover as local business leaders. Many discussions can be run in English nonetheless, because usually those Polish subsidiaries are global companies. They just have Polish local entity here. But even if not, we have enough Polish people. We are over 1,500 in Poland, so we can definitely cover it. We just need to put focus and intention on that, as our president, sorry, now CEO, talks.
Okay, it's the right time.
You touched on the perfect topic. There's a lot of myths around the Polish market, and working for corporations, different corporations, you kind of get this feeling, used to get this feeling that the market and the vibe on the market isn't that good. Why? Mostly to what you said, that people were not that willing to pay for consulting services and for integrator services. Mm-hmm. What should I pay for? And this market is evolving dramatically. We have currently the KPO, right? The Marshall deal for Europe entering the scene. Already see some benefits of that around the European markets. Right now, hoping a lot to see more in Poland. We got a lot of good players here, players who are global, not just local. And I would say that the value of an engineer and the value of professional services that we provide is actually growing steadily. And since I am the advocate and the first person to bring a Polish customer into the fold and a strong, very strong advocate with Piotr, by the way, of opening this market, I might say that it's also a market very focused on value. This is a market where you come with value, where you talk about value, about the service that you're providing, but an end-to-end one. This isn't a market where people expect headcount. This is a market where people expect results. And in that way, yes, it's a difficult market for multiple companies. But fortunately for us, we're used to convincing people that there's a certain pattern and certain choice that they need to make. We're used to consulting. And let's see how it goes. But this year, definitely, we have some major plans. Some good projects are happening, one with Piotr, the other with a different delivery unit, but also with my humble and my team's humble presence.
Of course.
And we do expect a lot. Purely speaking on the cloud perspective, even, Poland is a few years back. And we have a lot of on-prem footprint, private clouds. And since Azure and GCP are now heavily investing and present in the Polish market, and I expect AWS to be the same.
AWS as well. Yeah.
We can expect really a very good, prosperous time ahead of us. And you know, the story with the cloud, sorry for snatching for a little bit the conversation, is that you really got to know what you're doing. Because if you're going the wrong way and you just think that it's the same thing that you've been operating on-prem, you're kind of going to hit a few rocks that you don't need to. That literally you don't need to. There's people who've done it, who've done it multiple times. There's people who, and that those people are in our organization because we're blessed with a lot of those, who can literally make your work and your path to the cloud much smoother and easier. And, you know, sometimes even you will hear that maybe it's not solution A, B, or C, but a mixture of those. Again, only possible from the perspective of an integrator that understands both the business needs, the technological capabilities, and the kind of surroundings of the business itself. I'm really looking forward to kind of growing in the Polish market, not just as an engineering base, but also as a business base.
Yeah. It also sounds like a perfect timing. You know, you were talking about Poland being 2 years behind. With our experience with working clients across the world, right, we can actually add further value and more value to those companies who have those private clouds or on-prem, leveraging this experience, right? Yeah. Sorry, Piotr, you were...
No, just to the previous topic, maybe to add a bit of practicality, which I always cherish. So, of course, you can go to cloud yourself, surely. I mean, it's not so hard. I mean... Many companies do it, but you will probably see the benefit of having someone experiencing that on the very first consumption bill you will receive for the seller, right? So those consultancies will be probably covered tenfold in that first bill. So I would at least, you know, talk about an assessment, validate, is it truly all the resource groups I need, and so on and so forth, right? So
I will add to it that the first one might be a hit, but the 15th one, once you've operated for over a year and you think you know what you're doing in a good way because you have it under control, but suddenly things start spinning and you go like, what happened? That's also a very interesting thing. And I think that the market's got to learn this.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't burned yet in some of the ways that we've seen the US market or the Western Europe or the Singaporean market get burned. Mm. Polish one hasn't. So there's a lot of education, I would say. And I think mostly on your side.
Easy way, right?
Right. Mostly the business drivers have to educate our customers here about the benefits. It's not about the problems. I think the problems they know, but the benefits are the tricky part. Mm. With especially so much media noise and this, you know, fuss around the things that are happening in IT, which unfortunately is beyond reasoning in the recent years. I don't know, COVID did that, but we're really living in an information blizzard at this point.
100%. Definitely. So talking about, you know, experiences that we have, last maybe topic I wanted to touch with you is, you know, how can we leverage this experience? How can you leverage the information that we gathered over those years working with each other, with different organizations? And what advice can we actually give to some, you know, organization who are struggling, who don't recognize this single goal they have together, and they're still having that internal problem of how can we actually work together?
We offer consultancy service with Łukasz.
Yeah,
it's not cheap, but it's worth it.
It's worth it. It works.
Nah, jokes aside, but we do offer consultancy as a company. That's true.
And so this will be a free.
And it's very worth it. But I think that it's all about the open-mindedness, right? And actually living and working the way that's been present there, but doing it truly. So we do have space, right? We do have a lot of space for what we're doing, and that's positive. Most of our customers are limited in that respect. I used to work in a corporation that for everything you needed 5 levels of approval. So we're in a more flexible way. But at the same time, understanding that reality, I believe that there is still a lot of space that people don't see. And they need to be more open to kind of experiment and to share. Because if you don't share, don't put on the table what's your goals, what's your challenges, you're not going to get the positive outcome. You're just going to keep on circling in this vicious circle of fight for resources in order to meet your KPIs and to meet your targets.
Mm-hmm.
And come on, 1/4 isn't worth a relationship that can give you 3 years of benefits.
I mean, you have to start, right? That's probably the hardest step, the first one, but it's the hardest one, especially in terms of rigid organizations. You have to start. If you don't have, let's say, executive level support, you still have your own KPIs. The other party have their own KPIs. But if you won't start even working with them, or maybe not contradictory to those KPIs, but in the spirit of this collaboration, then nothing will happen. Then what are you expecting if you are trying to do the same stuff, right? And there is value in this collaboration. I don't think anyone needs to be told that twice.
No, not at all. I think it's just such a common sense to be transparent, to work with each other towards the same goal. And I like you mentioned KPIs, and I think a lot of organizations, internal organizations or departments, have their own KPIs, and that's why sometimes they struggle to be transparent, sometimes they struggle to actually work together. And actually, you know, crossing that barrier of, you know, establishing common KPIs will also help to determine this trajectory.
I'm super kind of controversial in this, but I'm going to say that, you know, there's people who love the procedures and think that they will hear on a podcast like this a magical procedural way of doing things. It's not going to happen. It's people over process. It's always people. If you don't invest in your leaders, if you don't give them space to fail, mostly Amen. Fail. Failing is the best lesson you can get as a leader. And trust me, man, I've had a few of those. And I think you're the same, right? So if you don't invest in the people, give them space, and put people in the center of everything you're doing, there is no magic procedure. I've seen companies that managed to obtain 10,000 DevOps over one night by renaming all the engineers. So you know, you can take shortcuts, but in the end, the culture, the way you work, the relationships, that's what the managers, what the people who lead the people are for, and what we should do, what we do best, and what we never should stop to invest in. I've seen so many companies that, you know, they start well, but then they just, okay, it's working, let's forget about those.
And before maybe people start, you know, throwing rocks on us and putting fire on our stake, we are not saying to ignore KPI or rebel against KPIs, right? But I'll give practical example again, too much practicality. But we discuss a deal with Łukasz or any other technical leader. I say that I have this kind of target for revenue or profitability. I can negotiate that. I cannot negotiate that. That's it, man. That's my limitation. That's my pain point.
Clear boundaries, right?
Or clear for everyone. So don't push me for that because that won't happen. We can like stop wasting our time.
Yeah. Transparency. Yeah.
That's the fact that some people think that you, in order to win, you got to lose. Somebody's got to lose in order for me to win. And that's not true. When we lose together. When we win, we win together. And I know it sounds like a cliche, but trust me, it's super hard to do. If you work in this corporate reality where constantly there's pressure, and the fact that despite the fact that we're smiling, there's always pressure around us. Yeah. By the way, here we would like to say hello to our bosses, who of course don't do that to us. They're perfect, and we love them. I love you, Vlad.
Of course we do,
right?
Of course.
You should also say something.
Yeah, yes.
Yes. You agree.
But this is very true, Łukasz. I mean, if we not even win-win, right? But if we don't have a win-win and a win for a customer, in that's short-lived. That's a one-time solution.
We're all in it together. And first of all, I wanted to touch on something you said previously. You cannot force collaboration. You cannot force transparency or openness. It has to be, developed, mentored, or somehow taught.
That's shocking. You're saying that writing it into our company policy doesn't make our company change?
No.
I'm sorry, but I literally heard that comment once.
Did you? Okay, good. Let's talk about it behind the scenes.
Right.
It
wasn't in SoftServe.
It is about showing by example, right? And then I think you guys actually are the prime examples of how collaboration should work and how it succeeds in delivering the best service we can to our clients.
I think there's also the particle which we didn't discuss, that's accountability and like personal ownership in it. You know, whenever I commit to something and I fail as a leader or one of my leaders, it's on us because he was counting on it to happen. We failed, we got to take the consequence. Sometimes we share those, but this personal ownership is super kind of non-present in many organizations. We have it here. But I've met so many companies in my life where when everything was going great, people were talking about, we're collaborative, we're nice. But when, problems started, people were going finger-pointing. And I hate that culture. Whenever things like that happen, I love to show the finger at me and saying like, okay, I did it.
Yeah.
Blame me. Yeah. Because it's easier to do that and get it off the table and start
doing something productive, right?
Yeah, searching for a solution than just playing this.
Yep.
And I think that's a level of maturity that in collaboration we did not tackle much today, but is super, super critical.
I agree.
We probably didn't talk too much about it because it's, at least for me, it's more of an internal trait of people, right? You have in the equation. It's hard to convince someone to take ownership of actions, right? You either have high accountability or you don't, right? And it's hard to train otherwise. But it definitely helps if you build your partnership with accountable people.
I don't say that. I'm trying to teach it to all the leaders. But I agree. Lead by example
and they shall learn.
There goes. So we have a first advice to our audience. What's your advice to our audience?
Trust in your people. Give them power to fail. And when you give them power to fail, don't be shocked that they do fail.
There's nothing better than failing, because then you have an opportunity to get back
out. Learn.
Yeah.
That's how adults learn, right? By failing.
Maybe let's kind of modify it, not just by failing, but by learning from failures. Tomorrow we're going to hear about 1,000 projects failing. But learning from failures. And I think that's a super difficult trait to do it jointly. Quite often I've seen that on the technological level, we know what failed. On the business level, business leaders know what failed. But we actually have it, but very often I've seen organizations that lose this connection. They don't meet. And haven't you heard like business guys saying, okay, it works with me. It works on my desktop, it works, right? It works for us.
Yeah.
But it's
have
the lack of...
to turn it on and off again?
Right. That's the Bible, man. But still, we kind of forget that the other side of the equation might not speak the same language, and it would be good to share. Especially that no man does it all by himself, to quote a song.
Yeah, definitely. And with that, sharing is caring. And guys, I thank you very much for being part of this podcast with me. And it was valuable knowledge, hopefully for us, but hopefully also for our audience. So thank you for being here. And well, till the next time then.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, guys.